you're going through something where maybe you're even unduly persecuted. Maybe you're like Joseph and you're innocent of all charges, but you find yourself in the dungeon. You find yourself with adversaries and things coming against you and things persecuting you. And that's not the issue, because if you want to live godly in this life, there will absolutely be offenses that come. There will absolutely be persecution. But I believe that the prophetic voice of God is saying tonight, can you do Ephesians 4:29 that says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, that's my mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that you can minister grace unto the hearer. And tonight I want to just challenge you by the Spirit of the Lord. Can you do this song? Can you just praise? Can you just worship? Can you just bow down? Can you just stay still and let God fight for you? And let God avenge you? And let God redeem you? And let God set you free? Because all the fighting that you do is not worth anything compared to what God can do in a moment. I want to challenge myself first, and I want to challenge you through the Spirit of God to just simply praise, to just simply worship, to simply bow down. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Just stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. But faith, have faith, have faith. God, you're my deliverer. God, you are my strong tower. God, you are my shield and my buckler. You are my front guard. You're my rear guard. God, you're watching out for me. Your eyes are going throughout the entire earth looking for me to show yourself strong on my behalf. Because when I'm weak, you are strong. God, I need you to move. I need you to move. But I'm just going to praise. And I'm just going to worship. And I'm just going to bow down. And I'm just going to stay still. And I'm going to watch you work. God's going to do a miracle for you, whoever you are. When you've been persecuted and in bondage unnecessarily, you're innocent. God's about to move in your life. In Jesus' name.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Max, and I'm a member here at The Ark. I hope you guys are ready for tonight. We're ready for a night of prophecy, a night of hearing God's word. Amen. Let's just honor our apostles, our presbyters, our pastors, the word of God tonight. And while we hear it, if you're making your way to your seat, just shake somebody's hand, say hello, say God bless, have a great night. Let's get down to tonight.
Nothing to lose, so can't stop, won't stop falling into you. I'm a member here at the Ark. Tonight, we're taking up a special offering for our presbytery team, and I have been given the privilege of sharing a message on abundance with you. The title of my message is Partnering with the Anointing.
Amen.
For those who may not know, a presbytery is two or more ministers who are anointed of God with prophetic authority and gifts to confirm and impart God's mind to the body of Christ. Tonight, we've been blessed and honored to have two such anointed apostles with us. In 1 Timothy 4:14 and 15, Paul tells his son Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee upon these things, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." In 2 Peter 2:20, 21, tells us, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." A presbyter will only give confirmation, not information. So, how do we know God's will for us? Well, first of all, His will is written down for us in His Word, the Bible. Secondly, according to Philippians 2:13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. In 1 John 2:27 tells us, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie." So then, why does Hosea 4:6 tell us God's people perish for lack of knowledge? Well, frankly, many of us do not have a vision of what it is that God has planned for us. Earlier this week, I had cataract surgery. And let me tell you, it's given me a new perspective on vision, both natural and spiritual. If I do this, you all are beautiful and clear. If I do this, y'all have a funky haze around you. Habakkuk 2:2-3 tells us to write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." That's us. But what if we do not have clear vision? What if we have spiritual cataracts when it comes to knowing God's direction for us, for our future, and whatever ministry He has for us in the body? How do we partake and partner with the apostolic and prophetic anointing that these apostles have to confirm and impart God's mind to us? Well, we know God's way. His way for us to receive anything from Him is first we give. Yes. Luke 6:38 tells us, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give into your bosom." Proverbs 11:24-25 says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and the one who helps others is himself helped." 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us, "God will generously provide all our needs." Then you will always have everything you need, and we'll have plenty left over to share with others. But it's also really important that we sow where we want to reap. In the parable of the sower, Jesus tells us that when we sow into good ground, we will reap 30, 60, and 100-fold. So, if it is your desire not to neglect the gift that God has placed in you, but to receive an anointed impartation to be a blessing to the body, then know that this truly is good ground. Here at the Ark, we have three quick and easy ways that you can give, as you can see on the screen behind me. Whichever method of giving you choose, we hope that you will give cheerfully and intentionally to the Lord. If you choose to give electronically, we would like to encourage you to still bring your giving slip, indicating that you gave through PushPay, and present yourself to the Lord. If you're a member at the Ark, during this time of giving, would you please greet some of the guests around you and make them feel welcome? Guests, you are very important to us, and we're so glad that you're here. During our time of giving, we'd like to welcome you and to be a blessing to you. Some people may come up and give you a kind word or a handshake or may even place a gift in your hand. Please receive the gift as a blessing for you personally. The Bible says, wherever your heart is, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we want our heart to be with you. If you would like a giving envelope, please just raise your hand and indicate to an usher that you'd like to have one. In this church, we believe that the Bible says to bring your offering. So we will place some baskets in front area for you to put your gift into. Once you have filled out your offering envelope and are ready to give, please come and give and greet any of the guests around you.
From the moment that I wake up, put on my makeup, you are out there with me. Okay, so we are not professional in this place sometime. So what happened was that we have a bunch of envelopes and we somehow don't have our giving slips in there. And so we're going to ask you to help us out tonight and be forgiving. How many of you know that God overlooks our trespasses? So that means that that same nature is in you to overlook other people's faults, right? And so instead of pointing fingers, we're just going to adapt and overcome. Amen? So what I'm going to ask you to do is if you need to give by the envelope, would you please take out a piece of paper? It can be a scratch piece of paper, a scrap of paper, whatever. And if you're going to give by credit card, you're going to have to just write down all of your information on there. I promise you that we will destroy it just like we normally do with the giving slips. And if you could just write that down, write down whatever information you would normally write on your giving slip, write it on there. If you can at all give electronically tonight, that would be the best way for us to do that. If you can text, if you are not part of our app yet, you can text to 77977 and you can just text the ARC CC and it will actually give you a link to be able to give right there. And you can put your information in online there with a debit or credit card if you want to. If you are one of the users of our app, you can go right to our app and click on the link that says give, or you could go to our website additionally. And you can give electronically that way. Otherwise, please go ahead and write down your information so that we can make sure that we give you credit for it in your taxes and all of that stuff. So thank you so much for overlooking our fault. We will have giving slips tomorrow in the name of Jesus. And look at that. We have Post-its, though. See? Adapt and overcome, folks. Adapt and overcome. And so if you need a Post-it note, Pastor Mike right here has Post-it notes for you. Oh, and look at that. Michelle carries around teeny weeny little Post-it notes with her as well. So if you could just go ahead and do your best to help us out, we really, truly appreciate that. By the way, if you would like to sow specifically into the ministries of Apostle Mel and Apostle Kenneth Tracy, we would appreciate you doing that. Partner with the anointing tonight.
tonight, you can just write down that it's a specific offering for them, and we'll make sure that all of it goes to them. We're not taking any of it for the expenses of the meeting. We want to give it directly to them to honor the men and women of God that are here as well. All right? So thank you for overlooking that fault, and we appreciate it. In just a moment, we're going to bring the baskets up here, and we're going to turn on some music, and you can quickly come and give and head on back to your seats. If you see someone around you that you don't know, be nice to them, okay? They're probably a guest, so be nice to them, all right? We love you guys. Well, we get to adapt and overcome yet again. So if you, we don't have a basket. I don't know. It's at the other church. So, I mean, you can just start throwing money onto the platform. I don't know. We're going to get something. Trash bag, whatever. Just as long as you don't throw it in the trash, we can do a trash bag. As you can see, we have a ways to grow in using this facility, because we don't use this facility for this purpose. So we have a bit of adapting to do and getting our procedures in line. Oh, look at that. See, everybody needs a Kevin IPA. Oh, look, this will work. Thank you so much. Oh, look at that. We have multiple options. Multiple options. Take your pick, whatever you want to do, just throw it on in there, present yourself to the Lord, and be blessed as you give.
Thank you, Lord, for every willing heart, for every person who's just led by you to be a blessing to these awesome men of God, Lord. We're so very grateful that you've sent them to us. We're so very grateful for just the amazing things that are going to happen here tonight. And we ask your blessing upon each and every person here in the precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Well, let me just kind of give you a quick insight into what's going on tonight. So we're going to ask Apostle Mel Mullen in just a moment to come and speak. He's going to minister to you out of the Word of God and build your faith. And then right after that, we're going to transition into a time of presbytery. Tonight, we're going to have the honor and the privilege of setting in our very first elders in this church. And it is going to be an awesome thing. The presence of God is going to be in this place. After we minister to them, you're going to have an opportunity, as the Spirit leads the apostles and prophets, to just call people out. If the Lord has a word for you, it's nothing to be nervous about. The Bible says that prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so God's going to give you a word that's going to bless your heart. And I would just suggest right now you can start to fast. And you can pray and pull on the anointing. If you've never done this before, you should be drawing forth. The Bible says, with joy, we draw forth from the wells of salvation. And there's a drawing that you can do in your spirit and begin to pull on the anointing of God to pull out a great word from the Spirit of the Lord. And so I suggest that the way that you do that is through something called hunger. The Bible says that from the time of John the Baptist, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And so you want to start to grab onto heaven. You want to start to grab onto the Spirit of God and onto the anointing of God and ask God to speak to you, because it's going to change your life. Amen. All right, we'll give you some more instructions later, but it is my absolute privilege and honor to introduce you to somebody who has impacted the world through his ministry. They have a tremendous work that they've done in Canada, but they also minister internationally. They've recently transitioned from being the lead in their organization to transitioning it over to their son. Actually, I don't think it was too far away from the time when we transitioned, right? And his son is doing a tremendous work, continuing to push things forward, pushing into different realms. But I'll tell you that the wealth of experience, the wealth of longevity in ministry, the Word of God, the presence of the Lord, and experience in ministering to people around the world is a blessing to have Pastor Mel Mullen with us tonight. Would you please give a very warm welcome to Apostle Mel Mullen?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wow, look at this. Heather, take a picture of that. Yes. Hallelujah. Just remain standing, will you do that? Yeah. I've got something really special for you. I've been working for 10 years on this book, Experience Jesus and His Church. It's a 31-day read. I'm going to preach out of this book, actually, teachings in the book is 31 days. It's a 31-day read. And it's got 18 stories of transformed lives. I worked on this book for 10 years. Believe it or not, I started writing it 10 years ago, and I'd go away and spend 3 or 4 days writing. Then I would put the book aside, and then I'd go and do it again and again and again. Finally, I hired a professional writer and invested a whole pile of money, and we went to work on it for a year and a half, and I've got this amazing book that's going to be a handbook for pastors all over the world. And you can have it tonight. I got a special deal, $16 for one, two for 30. And so buy one for you and one for your wife. Hallelujah. Or one for a friend. I know you're going to be blessed, and they're going to be right there available. Will you put your hand up and say, Lord, teach me something I never knew before. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I was seeking the Lord today, taking a little walk over in Colina where we're staying, felt the Lord speak to me and say that this church was not just a company of people, but it was going to become a company of leaders. Amen. The call on your life is to be a leader, not just in the church, but in the world. Amen. How many of you know it would be a good thing to have some Christian political leaders? How about some governors and some, You know, all the people that work in your community, and neighborhood leaders and leaders in the schools. And God's call on your life is not to just be a normal person, but to step up into leadership. Amen. In your sphere, your calling, because every mom, every dad is called to be a leader. Come on, somebody said amen. You will rise to the top in your company, and you will lead your company. You will probably own your company. You will probably move from a shareholder to an owner of a company. Literally, the call on this church is to leadership. But you've got to do several things as a person. It's in my book. You've got to step up. Everybody said step up. You got to step out, say it with me, step out, and then you've got to step into the plan of God. Now, here's the good news, is that in the area of leadership, God never asks you to do what you can do. He asks you to do what you can't do, what is beyond you. It's like God's promise to Abraham was the stars of the sky, and God said, beyond what you can reach. And then he said, your hand in the sands of the sea, your children will be like the sands in the sea, beyond what you can manage. God doesn't ask us to live within the context of our own ability. He moves us beyond who we are and what we can do in the normal. Yes. Now, that's the pre of the message. Let me tell you my story. When I was a young man, 19 years of age, went off to Bible college, and I was about two-thirds of the way through the first year of college. It was February. Went to college about October. Graduation was about April. And about February, the president of the Bible college came to me. I was a young student, 19 years of age. I had never preached. I had never stood in front of the public and given them a message or a sermon. I had never done that in my life. And he came to me, I still remember, came to me and he said, Mel, will you go and pastor a little church in Minnedosa, Manitoba? And I said, well, what does that mean? Well, he said, in those days, you know, you had the adult Bible class. So here I am, you're going to teach. He said, this is what he said. I said, what does it mean? You're going to teach the adult Bible class on Sunday morning. Then you're going to preach the Sunday morning message. Then he said, you're going to do the Sunday night message. And then he said, you'll do a midweek prayer meeting. And then he said, if you want to start a youth meeting, they don't have a youth group going, you can start a youth group. And would you like to go? And I said, well, that's not something I can do. Come on, somebody. And so I went up, you know, you folks don't understand cold or Canada, but I went up to the dormitory where we were all staying, a lot of guys in this big old house, the dormitory, and they were all out partying and having a good time. And I went up to my room, and of course you don't understand this, but the old houses there were heated with steam heat. And so I got my chair down like this. And I got down in front of my chair because I always thought it was more spiritual to kneel and pray. You know, if you're going to pray, you just got to kneel, right? And right there was the steam heater right there. And I was praying like this. I said, God, would you like me to go to Minnedosa, Manitoba, and be the pastor of a little church? And God didn't answer. All I heard was the psst of the steam. We go like that. God, do you want me to go to Minnedosa? Psst, psst, psst. And so I got this idea. I thought, well, God, it doesn't seem to be talking to me. So I got on my heavy coat. It's wintertime. I went down the street. And in those days, you put your quarters and nickels and dimes in the telephone. And I said, I'll go talk to my mother. I know if God doesn't talk, you know, he can talk through your mother, right? And so I phoned Mom and I said, Mom, I've been asked to go and pastor a church in Minnedosa, Manitoba. And what should I do? And this is what my mother said. She said, when you were a baby in the womb, I laid hands on you, and I dedicated you to the ministry. And she said this, son, go. I had the word from the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. That was the start of the ministry, and I went and taught adult Bible class. No, I went back to the principal the next day, and I said, yes, I'll take the opportunity. It was $90 a month. You live in the back of this old church. You run and get a pail of water. Seriously, it was the outhouse, the whole deal. I mean, it was luxurious living, and you cook for yourself, and you look after yourself, and you the old cook stove and the heat stove and all of that. It was primitive living. And I became the pastor of a little church for 6 months and went back to Bible college. And then I had another opportunity and another opportunity. And then over the years, Heather and I got married to Heather, and we ended up in Red Deer, Alberta, and we've been there for 46 years. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now our church is in 114 locations in 18 nations, and we're ready to cut another 61 ribbons of new churches that are starting Africa and Asia and all over the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. But here was the thing. Here was the thing. I had to step up and do what I hadn't the training to do. Now, the principal of the school said, I said, I don't know how to preach. He said, I'll give you my notes. And I preached all of them. Come on, amen. Now, I had no creative sermons on them. I just preached his notes. And I was successful. I'm serious about this. See, when your pastor comes to you and says to you, I want you to do something, do not look within the realm of your gift. If he trusts you to do something, you go and do it. Come on, amen. And if God tells you to step into responsibility in your neighborhood or in your school or in any place, you've got to just be obedient to the voice of God and step up and step out and step into the plan of God. Now, if you don't, you'll be diminished to be a lesser. But if you step out and step into the plan of God, you will move into realms and opportunities that are beyond your imagination. And today I travel all over the world. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it was those first steps that were so very, very important in relationship to my life. Now, God's asking you, this church, because the word of the Lord to this church is that God is going to raise up a company of leaders. Amen. Now, this is the word of the Lord for you, is that God's call on this church and this pastor is to raise up a church that is jam-packed full of leaders. Come on, somebody shout. That will impact and influence every sphere of society. That's the call on this church. Amen. Now, this means several things. It's in the book. First of all, it means that you've got to overcome the internal issues of your own negative life and your own fears. For instance, when God spoke to Gideon, you see, the principle of life is this, that God always thinks higher of you than you think of yourself. Hello? I want to repeat that. God always thinks higher of you. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And his thoughts are greater about you. Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts I have for you. Come on, somebody. And until you get the understanding of his thoughts, you can't move into his ways. Gideon is there threshing out the grain. And he's got a very poor, negative attitude about himself, and he's insecure, and he's hiding. Like most Christians are, they're kind of hiding in their insecurity. Are you with me? And God comes along and says to him, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. You see, God has higher thoughts about you than you have about yourself. You think you feel diminished or negative, or maybe you were like myself when I was raised. I was raised with an absentee dad that had been in the mental institution, and the result was I was insecure within myself. And one of the scriptures that became the foundation of my life was 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. When I was a young man, so insecure, even in the ministry, I put together statements and scriptures, and I would put them in a packet in my life and in my pocket. I would read them over and over to somehow get my self-image up to where it ought to be. Come on, somebody say amen. Because God thinks bigger thoughts about you than you think about yourself. And God has big, big, great plans beyond even your own imagination. You can imagine it and think it, but God has bigger than what you can imagine or think. And if you can think it and imagine it, you can have it, according to Ephesians chapter 3. Moses had the same problem. By the way, God's program is to call you. Everybody said call you. So God calls you, and then he begins the work of equipping you or training you. And he did that with Moses in Pharaoh's court and also in the wilderness. And then God calls you, and he trains you, and then he tests you. Amen. Come on. The Bible says, let a man first be proved, and then let him have the office. We've got a couple of elders and their mates or their wives, whatever. Maybe they're joint elders. I don't know what they are, but they're leaders in your church. Let me tell you something. All those two couples that are coming to be prayed for, they've been tested. Tested in their loyalty, tested in their faithfulness, tested in their finances, tested in their marriage. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And God will call you and equip you, but then he will test you. Let a man first be proved and then give him the office. And so that's the program of God. Moses went through this whole process, and then God called him by the bush. You know the story. And told him what he was supposed to do, take the children of Israel from Egypt. How many of you know that that had to be miraculous? I mean, that was beyond his thinking. That was beyond his even idea of what the call of God was in his life. Noah, and then God, see, God's call is always bigger, better, and greater than what you can imagine or think. That's just the way it is. God thinks bigger thoughts about you than you think about yourself. He's got bigger plans for you than you have for yourself. And so God calls him in Exodus chapter 3. And then he has to overcome the insecurity of his own life. And he starts arguing with God. Most of your problems in relationship to leadership is, number one, you don't believe what God said, and number two, you argue yourself out of God's plan for your life. Instead of stepping up and stepping out and stepping in, you'll reduce yourself down to be a lesser. Am I talking to anybody or just talking to the wind? And then God begins, because God will call you, and he'll begin to equip you, and then he'll test you, and then he'll give you the tools that are necessary to get the job done. And he says, what's in your hand? Throw it down, it turns into a snake. What is your hand? Put it in your side, and it turns out to be a leprous hand. And God begins to equip him with the supernatural power of God to get the job that needed to get done. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Now, what I want to do, I want tonight to be to spring you. Say, a prophetic meeting is not just for several couples to get a word from the Lord for their life, but somehow to lift a church into a new belief and value system of itself. God has big plans for the ark. Come on, amen. And he's got big plans for you. And every one of you have got to step up, step out, and step into another level of the plan of God. Amen. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Young Timothy, God was sending him into what was the largest church in the New Testament. One of my friends studied the church in Ephesus. It was a multi-site, multicultural, it was a church for the province of Asia. It wasn't just a city church, it was a church for the whole province of Asia. And Paul had gone into that city and with 12 disciples, baptized them. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he sent them out with prayer cloths, and the gospel went out until the scripture says all of the province of Asia heard the word. My friend Dick Mills did a study of this, and he said he believed that that church grew to at least 100,000 believers. And it was one church up and through the Roman systems, Roman road systems, up and through the little roads and places up there, all throughout Asia Minor. And the word of God went out there until a good portion of that whole province of Asia had been converted to Jesus Christ, the largest church in the New Testament. And so, and then trouble comes, and doctrinal trouble comes, and deceitful things happen, and false teachers and false prophets can begin to come into to work inside that church and cause all kind of that. And it was like the Bible calls about the beasts of Ephesus. And to a young man by the name of Timothy, God is sending him. Amen. Just a young man. God is sending him into Ephesus to the most difficult church problems and circumstances of life. And God says to him, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Son, go into Ephesus and turn that thing right side up for the glory of God. Come on, somebody, shout hallelujah. God doesn't give you easy tasks to do as a leader. He sends you into the most difficult demonic systems and structures for you to turn it around for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Tonight I just want to get your faith up so you can actually believe. See, most of our problem is we don't have enough belief in ourselves. We say we believe in God. Yes, we do. Come on. You believe in God? Well, that ain't your problem. Your problem isn't that you don't believe in God. Your problem is you don't believe in yourself. Shall I repeat that? By the way, I don't have any notes. I'm talking by total inspiration. Come on, amen. Your problem is not that you don't believe in God. Your problem is your own attitude and image of yourself. When God says you can do the bigger, better, greater, and you say, well, I don't know if I can. I had a little card that I would carry around as a young pastor. And if there was anybody that suffered from insecurity, it was me. Because I was raised in many of you have read my book, Be a Man. I sold that book a couple of years ago here. Many of you read the book. But my father had been in the mental institution, and God rescued him and delivered him, and he came home healed by the power of God, but he never became a man. And the result was I was just a chip off the old block. I had the same internal issues as my father, and here I am called by God to the ministry but suffering from my own insecurity. Hello? And I had to get a hold of my own manhood. Apostle C. And I would take scriptures and write them on cards and put other statements on. I'll give you one. And it was 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I would put a kind of a strange statement on the back of every one of these cards. And the statement I wrote on the back of that particular card was, it was this: a turtle never gets anywhere until he sticks his neck out. Come on, hallelujah. And as a young pastor, in Red Deer, Alberta, just starting this new church, I felt so intimidated by all the ministerial people. And when there was a minister's meeting or something, I would kind of slink into the back of the room and sit in the back chair and then slip out, you know, come on, amen, show up but slip out, amen, because my insecurity kept me at the back. But one day I changed my mind. And I walked into the meeting and I sat in the front. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. And I conquered that insecurity that had dominated my life and was keeping me down. Some of you just, I'm speaking prophetically, you just have to get a hold of yourself. Come on, amen. And raise the sights of who you can be and what you can do and get a new believing attitude, not just in God, but in relationship to yourself. What is it about this island? I think I'm starting to pick something else here. There's a lot of insecure people on this island. Not just in Canada, but here. A lot of insecure Christians. Step up. Say it with me. Step up. Step out and step into the plan of God. Now, there are four words I want to give you, and we're going to wrap this up and then do the prayer and prophecy. If you're going to step up, step out, and step into the plan of God, the first thing you need as a Christian leader is courage. Everybody said courage. Courage. And by the way, courage has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has to do with your heart. Everybody said heart. Take your finger like this and draw yourself a heart. Like this. Be strong and of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Courage comes from the heart. It's the original word courage is actually the word heart. Heart. See, all you need is heart. Love Jesus with all your heart. Love the sinner down the street with all your heart. If God called you to the ministry of street ministry, with all your heart. Come on, amen. If he called you to pastor people, you do it with all your heart. Come on, amen. And it doesn't matter what God calls you to do, it takes, number one, courage. And courage has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has to do with your heart. Remember the story of David? David has come back from killing the Philistines, and he gets home and comes back to Ziklag. You know the story. And the place is burned with fire. His wives and children are gone. Everything is lost. I mean, talk about everything being... Everything is gone. His 400 men. His 400 men are picking up the stones, ready to throw them at David. But what does the Bible say? But David. Everybody said David. But David. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Somebody shout hallelujah. And he rose above the circumstances, because courage has nothing to do with your circumstance. It has your ability. It has to do with your ability to step up, step out, and move into the plan of God. And you know the story. They go out and conquer all and bring all of it back. Everything is restored and everything is brought back. To God, to Joshua, God says, Moses had said it, but now God says, Joshua chapter 1, he says, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Now, God was asking him to do something Mo had not done, Moses. God's not asking you to do what Apostle C did. He's asking you to do more than Apostle C. Not asking you to do what Mel Mullen. He's not asking you to be. He's asking you to step out and do something that is beyond the former generation. Some of you guys, you young guys, are going to go a whole lot farther than your pastor. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I'm finding out my own sons. He's way ahead of me. Not right, Pastor Russ. Right, hallelujah. Can you imagine what this girl's going to do? Come on, David. And that boy's going to do. And so God asks him, be strong and be. And so he walks out and he's standing before the city of Jericho. And God says, it's all shut up. It's impossible. See, I've given you the city. You know the story. And they walk around seven times, 7 days, seven times on the seventh day. And they shout the shout and the wall comes down and they march in and they take what Mo didn't get. They got because they had courage. First thing you need is courage. The second thing you need in your life is confidence. And confidence is the ability to square your shoulders and go get what God told you you can have. Can I say that again? What is confidence? Confidence is the ability to square your shoulders and go and get what God said you can have. You know, I live by this. For many, many years, I led an apostolic movement in Canada where we're bringing the apostles from all the provinces and territories of Canada, and we had hundreds of these leaders of denominations and organizations coming together, and there's, you know, inky dinky little wee Mel Mullen, come on, amen, that doesn't have the PhD or the doctorate. He's just a kid that, come on, got a hold of God and raised up a church and said, come on, let's do something. And they all came. Hallelujah. I was praying a few months ago. We were down, and a practice I have, and something I was telling the pastors this week, that a practice I have, and it's good practice, something that's good, a good practice for you. Whenever Heather and I go away and we have 7 days or 10 days of vacation or holiday or whatever you call it, a break, I always ask God before I leave that vacation, I ask him for a word for the next season. Come on. And then when I hear, I just go and do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, all you have to do is hear and do. Hear, say with me, hear and do. What is the wise man? He hears the word and does it. So you can be in the middle of a meeting like this, and somebody can get a prophecy for their life. But while you're sitting in the back seat or the back row or one of these, God can talk to you about your life. Come on in. And while they're getting their prophecy, you're getting your word direct from God. Hallelujah. So we're off having our little, just telling a little bit about my life, how I operate. So I'm off having my little break and time of prayer and, you know, sometimes just having a good rest, because we, Heather and I work, I travel the world and do 5 or 6 international trips into Africa and Asia and the Philippines, and I do 5 or 6 of those trips every year. And then I work down in Scottsdale, and we're having our little break. The Lord gave me a word, and the Lord told me, he said to me this, he said, focus your attention on the Russian-speaking nations. Well, what do you think about that? Well, within a couple of months, I'm in Siberia. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I'm connecting with a major leader who's on the, you know, on the big newspapers, and he's listed as one of the top leaders of Russia with Putin. Wow. Got a church of several thousand people and 41 church branches, and now he's becoming my friend. And in the month of May, here's something, I'm taking some business leaders into northern Russia to train them in a communist country on the principles of entrepreneurship and success. Come on, hallelujah. And I'm going to have a conference in us in Istanbul. I'm going to have another one in Siberia. And we are going to train hundreds of leaders. Come on, somebody shout out. And I got just a word from the Lord that triggered me. See, if God tells you to go into that high school and do something, step in and step out and do something you've never done before and believe in God and believe in yourself. Everybody said courage. The second word is confidence. And what's confidence? What is it? Square your shoulders and go and do what God says you can have. And Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's 25, says, don't throw away your confidence because it's your reward. Hallelujah. Now, I'm talking to you. I'm not just talking to a few of you. I'm talking to everybody sitting here. God wants to give you courage. He wants to give you confidence. But here's the third word. It's the word creativity. Say it with me. Say it with me. Confidence. Courage. Creativity. See, Pastor, what we need in our church is creative people. If you lead the children's ministry, you better be creative. Come on, amen. Because Pastor and his wife, they're not going to cut the program out for you. You're going to have to find one for yourself. You're going to have to create something that nobody has ever created, something that's unique and special for the children of this church. Somebody said amen. And if you're involved in, you better be creative. And the people that are really cutting-edge Christians and people that are leading programs and ministries in local churches are people that are in total unity with their pastor but have a creative mind to come up with some solutions and answers, come on, that moves the church forward in Jesus' name. Because God is the creator of heaven and earth. And he looked down into a mud hole and said, let there be. And he lives inside of you. So it doesn't matter how muddy or how difficult or the condition or circumstances of what you're involved with, when God gives you a word, it will produce life. Come on, amen. Courage, say it with me, courage. Confidence. Creativity. And the fourth word is conquer. Conquer. And Romans chapter 8, verse 36 says that he has made you more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Of course, you know the story. David conquered. Joshua conquered. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he says to you, the same power that was in Jesus is inside of you, and you have the ability to conquer, to overcome. I walk through your building. I go down there and somebody's got a creative idea about reaching this community. Somebody said amen. You know, when the politicians or the city officials say you can't do something, well, we just go ahead and do it anyway. Come on. When they say you can't have, well, we just do it. I don't know the story on this building. All I know is there's something going on here that's overcoming the problems. Come on, amen. And God gives you creative juice and ability to go and do what you cannot and it seems to be impossible to do. He gives you the ability to conquer. Come on, amen. So the challenge to you for tonight is this church, I'm going to say it again, is not only a company of people, but is to be a company of leaders. And God's raising you up to be a leadership church. I tell everywhere I go, and we've got churches in many, many nations, and I, pardon me, I don't want to be egotistical or anything else or sound this way, no attitude of pride, but when I go and meet with our pastors in Africa or Asia or Istanbul or anywhere, I tell them this, you know, tell them that in Canada. And I say, you know, there's lots of churches around. What I say to them. There are lots of churches around. But God hasn't called you to just be one of.
That's right.
He's called you to lead. Somebody said amen. God is stepping this church. You watch this church. I'll prophesy in the next 3, 4, 5 years of the development of this church. This church is going to step up into another level of leadership on this island. Somebody shout hallelujah. You will not just be one of many. You will step up to be leaders in this island for the glory of God. Come by, somebody said amen. And when people say, what's going on in Oahu? Have you heard about that Ark Church? Mark my words on this one. 5, 6 years, 8 years, 10 years from now, Pastor, people will say, they'll meet you, they'll ask the question in California or in Miami, Florida, and they'll say, what's going on over there in Hawaii? And somebody will say, have you heard about the Ark Church? Leadership. And the story will be told of you, how you went in, you transformed cities, you worked in communities, you went into schools, you had youth meetings, you reached out in different spheres and flows of life, and even to different islands and even different nations. And you stepped up. Everybody said, step up. Step out. Step into the plan of God for your life. Put your hand up and begin to praise the Lord. Come on. Come on, take faith. Reach out to somebody and say, you can do what somebody says you can't do. Come on. You can do what somebody says you can't do. You are called. You're called by God to be a leader. You have the call of God to be a leader. Now look at somebody and say, step up. Step out. Step into the plan of God. Hallelujah. For I know the plans I have for you. I saw it right in here. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Praise the Lord. You know who that was written to? It's written to people who were in captivity. And there they were in bondage and captivity. And God said, I have a plan. And then he sent Nehemiah down to build the walls. And then he sent Ezra to rebuild the temple. And he sent them back to restore their lands and their fortune. For I know the plans I have to give you a hope and a future. And he was going to do something for them in captivity and give them a word that will change their lives and move them into their future. That's what this prophetic meeting is all about. By tomorrow night, by the time tomorrow night is over, you will have, many of you will have a fresh word from God. Not just from the laying on of hands, but God will speak to you. And you will start moving into, and I've literally seen, Apostle Kenneth Tracy, I've seen meetings where I went, some of them with you. And after two or three days of prophetic ministry, the church just shifted. It just, remember one time, it just shifted. It just doubled. It just, all of a sudden things changed. Within two or three days of prophetic meeting, just everything shifted. And the church went to another level. Can you believe God for that? Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to get it in our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now, Pastor, you're going to bring those elders forward. And we're going to pray for them. Yes, sir.
You know, before we bring the ones that we're going to be setting into eldership in this church, I want you to know that as we've been going through the Bible and the qualifications of an elder, these people meet those qualifications, and we're not laying hands on anybody suddenly. These people have been with us actually from before I was part of the church. They've been pillars in this community, been pillars in this house. They've pastored people. They've preached the word of God. They have a good reputation. All of the things right down the line, they meet the qualifications for elders. And so tonight, it is our honor and our privilege to set them in. As such, we're going to believe God for prophetic words over them and over some of you as well. But also, the presbytery, as you've been learning over the last number of weeks, is meant to bring a special authority to be able to impart the gifts, the abilities, and the mantle of anointing that they're going to need to facilitate the office of an elder. And so what they were before, the prophetic presbytery takes place is not what they're going to be afterwards. They're going to be resourced. They're going to be furnished. They're going to be made into something brand new that God is going to take and accelerate them and this church into a new realm. Get ready, because we're about to go someplace. Amen. Tonight, as we just pull on the anointing of God, I want to ask you guys to do this. As we prophesy over them, as we pray for them, as we set them in into that position, I want to ask you guys that if you are filled with the presence of God, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, if you would just continue to pray and stir yourself up upon your most holy faith, as we're continuing to do that, we just want to set an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit to move not just in these, but also in your life as well. Like Pastor Mel was saying, even if somebody else is getting prophesied over, but that word just begins to bear witness with your spirit, grab onto it, write it down, write it down, keep it in front of your eyes, and just grab onto it. You might not get a word just from the mouth of the prophet straight to you, but it's going to be from God's mouth straight to your heart. And I encourage you, grab a hold of whatever it is that shakes your faith, whatever connects with your faith and energizes you, and God's going to do something in your heart as well. Amen. You guys willing to do that with us? Amen. We'd like to just ask if Pastor Ron and Pastor Sharon Takashima would come and would join us here on the stage. Thank you, Lekka. And we're going to ask Apostle C and Apostle Mel, as well as their wives. We've given them free liberty. We've given their wives free liberty to prophesy as the Lord leads them. We believe in the ministry of the prophetess as well as the prophet. And so we just want to invite them to share as they would like to share as well. Just right here. Hallelujah. Yeah, sure, we can do that. And the next couple are Pastor Mike and Debbie Chun. Would you guys just come and they'd like you to just come and sit on this side as well?
Yeah, we'll prophesy to them separately, but we'll
Absolutely. Again, if you receive a prophetic word, hopefully you have, we're recording it on my phone back there, but if you would like to, I would suggest that you bring your phone in record mode already and record that word so that you can transcribe it, write it out, pay attention to it, listen to it over and over again. And would you just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost? Just stir yourself up upon your most holy faith.
Good. Okay, Apostle C, we're going to start with this. We're going to start with this couple right here.
Check, 1, 2.
You heard about the heart, and I do search the heart. You have a heart for me, says the Lord. You have a heart for the church. You love the church. You have a servant's heart. You have a heart that wants to see unity. You have the gift to speak into people that are confused and just being distracted and are hurt or offended, to become peacemakers in this house and to open the word of the Lord to them and to share with them that God is going to do a new work within them. You're going to put out fires. You're going to help people that feel lonely and unappreciated to feel that love and to transfer that love in your own way of doing it, because you are lovers of God and lovers of His church and lovers of His people. You're going to have opportunities to share the word. You're going to have opportunities to open your house, and you will find that people, when they walk in, will sense there's something about this house that is not just a home or a building, but there is a presence. There is something in the atmosphere. And that is because you practice the word, you believe the word, you live by the word. And I say unto you, I'm going to bless you and give you strength and give you health and give you healing, and I'm going to bless your hands to be healing hands, to lay hands on the sick. Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. Lay hands on them and cast out oppressing spirits of disease. You will see people healed. You will see people healed of cancer and diabetes and insomnia. You will see broken lives restored. For that is my promise to you, says the Lord. You are now being set in by this church and by this ministry to do something that your heart has longed to do, but it is now going to accelerate. It's going to be a multi-task ministry in many areas. Your neighbors are going to be a part of it. Your neighbors are going to see what God can do. You're going to have a boldness, and they're going to come to you, and they're going to say, tell me, what is the secret? What is the answer? And you're going to find out that not only in the house of God, but all over, in the area where you live, you're going to be a light, and you're going to be a pillar, says the Lord.
Let's give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.
Sister Sharon, I see many young women. I see many young women coming to you. I see you talking to them. I see you praying for them. I see you training them. I see you raising them up. I see you as a mother of many young women. You're going to have women coming to you, young girls. And you're not going to know exactly the answers that you even have. You won't have the answers for them, but the Lord will give you the answers as they come. There's going to be women that are in deep trouble, women that are really in so much deep trouble. They're going to come to you, and you're going to raise them up. They're going to become women of God. And in the end of all of this, you're going to see a great army of women following you that you have raised up, that you have ministered to, that you have caused to become women of God. And I just see you rejoicing in this band of women that are going to be following you. You're going to be able to say, this woman was raised up in this particular year, and this next year there was another one, and God is going to use you in an amazing way. So do not be afraid when the first one comes. When the first one comes, don't be afraid, because there's going to be many, many more after her. There's going to be just a great band of young women that are going to serve God because of you. And your calm spirit is going to cause those women to be able to come out of the trouble that they're in, and they're going to be able to serve the Lord. Okay, so watch for them. They're coming.
And the Lord says, I'm going to use you as ministers to bring people from confusion. People have gone in the wrong direction in life. People have taken the wrong steps away from God, away from His house. The Lord tells me to tell you that the two of you are going to be ministers of restoration. You're going to start even reaching back into the history or the past of this church, people that were touched by this church in years gone by. It's a day of restoration. It's a day when God is calling people back. It's a day when people are being delivered from confusion and every evil work, says the Lord. Come on, everybody, shout hallelujah. It's a day when my house, it's like the house has had a foundation and has been built, but the Lord says there's an increase coming to this house. There's a restoration coming to this house. There's some new salvations coming to this house. Come on, hallelujah. There's young people coming to this house. There's young families and young couples coming to this house. And there are even people that are sitting dormant in their old age that are coming back to this house. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's a day of restoration. And we set you in as leaders, elders in this house to bring restoration, healing, and wholeness to people in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Restoration, healing, and remember those three words. Restoration. Say it with me, everybody. Restoration, healing, wholeness into the house of God. And many salvations. You will train people how to disciple people. You'll train people how to follow up people. You will not be people that just connect people to yourself, but you will connect people to people who will connect them to people, who will connect them to people. And out of your pastoral influence will come a whole network of people that are connected one to another in the house of God. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here, I'll just give the word, everybody, kind of a little picture. So many leaders, listen to me carefully. So many leaders connect people just to themselves. But real leaders connect people to the house. Amen. And they connect them into relationships and relationships and relationships, and they surround them with the right kind of people who will bring them into the right connection in the house of God and bring healing and wholeness to them. I'm going to use you as instruments, not to just pastor people personally, but to be able to pastor people corporately. Everybody said corporately, not just personally, but pastor people corporately. I'm commissioning you with a new responsibility this day, says the Lord your God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I know something else about these people. This man right here, he's going to be so busy.
Don't scare him.
He's going to be so busy. I'm going to tell you, sometimes he's not that busy, but I'm going to tell you, his schedule's going to fill up. Come on, amen. And he's going to say to his pastor, couldn't I take a rest? Come on, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you all these years that they have served faithfully. God, I thank you that you're going to heal, give energy and strength. You give the strength to carry the burden, to carry the load. You give the health that you promised. You give the energy. The Holy Spirit is making intercession. Making intercession right. Everybody speak another tongue. God's going to do a miracle.
Pastor, come. Put your hands upon them. Pastor Jolie.
I just feel like the Lord is just saying to you that two things. You've kind of been in a season where maybe it's like a car that the stick shift has been popped over into neutral. You've been searching to find the gear that you need to be in. And I feel like God's just saying to you tonight that the clutch is going in and you're about to be put back into gear. I feel like the Lord's saying to you tonight that not only that, but you've come upon waypoints in your journey. But God's going to give you fresh vision. God's going to begin to give you a fresh perspective, that he's going to give you vision for things that are going to actually outlive you. Your vision is going to outlive you. It's going to be more than you can accomplish in your lifetime. But God's going to give you people alongside you that are going to carry that torch and are going to push that vision to go forward and to eventually be completed. But I believe that what's going to happen is that as you get vision, energy is going to accompany that vision. That strength is coming. Amen. Strength is coming to accomplish the vision. So God, I thank you right now for fresh vision.
God, I thank you for the coming back into gear. Father, I thank you that as you add energy and as you add purpose and as you add whatever is needed, God, that they would take it and that they would run with it. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you help them to outrun chariots, that you help them to outrun the rain. God, that you help them to run faster than they've ever run before. I thank you, Father, that there's no retirement, just retreading. And I thank you, God, that you're moving them into a new season and into a new thing in Jesus' name. Father, we just impart from the Spirit that's upon us, and we put it upon them, Lord God, to lead, to function, to flow, to grow. Lord God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Praise. Could I pray one more prayer, Pastor? I'm going to pray that God will give them a team.
Amen.
I'm going to pray that God will, even in the next 2 or 3 days, as you pray about who should be on this team with us, this pastoring, you know, you get a team of people around you to pastor a certain. And we have people in our church, one couple, they pastor 700 people, but they have a team of 12. They got a team of other, you know, all of us need a team. So, Lord, I pray that you'll just begin to form new teams, even pastoring, so that this church can grow beyond its, Lord, the numbers where it's at right now. Lord, I'm asking you to give them the team that they need around them, Lord, and mobilize the people to get the job done in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Father, just pour out blessings upon these who have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt they are pillars in this house. They are carrying a load not only outside of the house, but in this house of God. And they are walking in the calling that you have put them on this planet for. It's not just a happenstance. It's not just something that just happened. The Lord says to tell you that before there was a planet, before there was a moon or a star, I destined you. I knew you. I knew the both of you. I knew you would come together and be married. I knew you'd find me and you would serve me and you would be in this house and you would be a leader. You have been generous. You have been abundantly supporting the work of the Lord with your prayers, with your abilities, with your talents, with your oversight, with your counsel, with your wisdom. And the Lord would say, this is good soil. This is a good and wonderful and an exciting day for the two of you. You've already done it. You've already been there. But the greatest days of your life, inside and outside of this house of God, is ahead of you. You are going to have opportunities to lead businessmen and women to the Lord. You will stand firm upon the word of God. You have healing anointing. You have a gift of faith. You believe the impossible can happen. You believe in miracles. You believe in multiplication. You believe in organization. You believe that people ought to be thrilled to be a part of the house of God. You have a heart to see men. You have a heart to see women that will give themselves wholly, give themselves completely, give themselves without reserve. Why do people live a while in a realm and then lose it and then stop? And you see they're on the front seat, now they're on the middle seat, and now they're sitting in the back. You have an understanding that the house of God, the church of Jesus Christ, is where people meet God and where they should revere and cherish and not forsake the house of the Lord. I'm going to bless your bread and your water. I'm going to bless your business. I'm going to bless your ministry. You're going to be a strength to this church. You can cast out devils, sir. You can cast out devils. You can take the authority over alcoholism, over drugs, addiction. You can speak the word, and you can see transformation. Opportunities are going to come to you. Men that are broken, men that are far out from having a good marriage and are thinking of escaping, getting out of it, divorce. And you're going to be able to speak to them and share to them. And you will bring them to your house, and you will show what a good marriage can be by your love, by your respect, by your appreciation of each other. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to use you. You have a desire in your heart that has not yet been fulfilled. Precious sister, the Lord says, I'm dispatching angels already to bring this into your life. The cry, the tears, the prayers, the travails that you have made. You are going to be surprised. I am going to do it. It's going to be a testimony. You are not bashful or shy to give your testimony. You got another one coming. And another thing is, the Lord would say that you should get a journal, because you know how to pray. You know how to make intercession. And you're going to start seeing prayers answered on a weekly basis for people, for situations, for this church, for the leadership of this house, for the ladies of this church. You will have answers to prayer. And you will see that what you have read in the Bible is now working on a daily basis in your life. And great will be your praise unto the Lord, your gift to this body. You know, I've chosen you because the Lord says to tell you that you're serious. You're not a show-off. You're not someone that wants to be seen. You're willing to give yourself. I chose you because your motivation's right. And I've blessed your bread. And I've blessed your, when you pray, Father, give me my daily bread. It wasn't just money. It wasn't just things. The daily bread that you wanted was his presence, his word, his anointing, his spirit. Get ready for a double portion of the Spirit of God. Everybody point to these right now. As, oh my God, hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's two things I know. Everybody listen to me. This woman, she's a systems woman. She's a systems. She loves systems. You put her to work, Pastor, doing systems and keeping records. You know, I don't like paper, but there's some people that like paper. Come on, amen. This girl can organize things. She's a systems. She's a watch person. Come on, hallelujah. What does the Bible talk about? The watchman on the wall. That's this girl right here. Come on, give her a hand. Amen. You're going to manage systems. God's going to bless the systems. I had a good friend pastor of mine in Canada. Has the largest church in Canada. He's a great, great preacher. But I said to him, what's the key to the success of your ministry? Is it you're preaching, whatever? And he's got a big church, thousands. And he said, I manage systems. I set up systems of management, and I manage those systems. people, when they come into the church, they need to be followed. There's got to be systems and follow-up and management. Come on, somebody. And there's got to be attendance and records. And you got to know who's here and who's not here. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. And you're going to watch over. This woman's a watchwoman over the church. Come on, amen. She's going to watch and pray. Watch and pray. That's two things she can do. Watch and pray and take action. And mobilize. You're going to mobilize people to take care of those needs. Now, about this man right here, he's a man's man. Come on, amen. This man is a man's man. And he has ability to just, and the Lord tells me to tell you to just take action with men and go speak to men. Get into the hearts of men. I just feel sometimes we as leaders, we have the question, should I, should I not? Should I, should I not? Should I go, should I not? Well, I wonder, should I go? Maybe somebody else should go. And the Lord just says, go! Come on, hallelujah! Just go in faith, trusting in me. Speak into the lives of men. Speak into the lives of family. Take your leadership role. Exercise your authority as a man and woman of God. And go in Jesus' name and watch me work a work that I will do. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Habakkuk chapter 1. Here's your verse. I will work a work in your day that you would not even believe it were so. Hallelujah. This church is on the grow because these leaders are being set into responsibility in the house of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. This church is on the grow because of these leaders taking responsibility. Systems woman, praying woman, a man's man. Hallelujah. Leading together for the glory of God. And somebody shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, come and lay your hands on them and we'll impart a new authority. Come on, pastor's wife.
I just feel like the Lord is saying to you, don't doubt, but just believe. From time to time, the enemy comes to you and says, he talks to you about skeletons in the closet. And I just want to tell you that like somebody said, I don't know who said it, but they said it pretty good, that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And God's calling you to this not because of what you've done, not because of who you've been, not even because he's just overlooking mistakes or whatever of the past, but God has washed all of those things away. They're brand new. And God's got a call, a destiny, and a purpose for you that is not contingent upon what went down before, but because God has a calling and a choosing upon you, and you've responded to the call. And so there's no reason why you should not be fully equipped by the power of God to do what it is that he's calling you to do. There's nothing that should hold any of that back. It's a free flow pipe from heaven. Amen. Father, we just lay our hands upon these. Father, as you instructed in your word and as the example in the book of Acts, that they chose people full of the Holy Ghost. They chose out people of good report. They laid their hands upon them and commissioned them over some things. God, we commission the Chuns right now over the business to which you're calling them, to do what it is that you're calling them to do, to be pillars in the house of God, to be full of the anointing and the grace of the Lord. Father, we take of the anointing and of the mantle that's upon us for leadership, and we place it upon them. God, we thank you that you help them and you give them, resource them by the Holy Spirit, everything that they need to administer the role to which you're calling them. God, we thank you that every joint supplies the need and that you would cause them to be those that supply in good measure. We thank you, Father, for the anointing upon them, a fresh gifting, a fresh day. Lord God, we thank you for more than enough to do what it is that they're called to do. And we thank you for people that they're bringing along in the process to fill the pipeline, to raise up leaders, and to commission them into a new day. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Put up your hands and praise the Lord a while. Come on, out loud. Praise the Lord a while. Rabba Sagaba.
Come on, stand up and praise the Lord.
Give him praise.
Just give him thanks. Come on, amen.
Give him praise.
Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for a new move of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This is what I'd like to do. How many are here? I'd like to pray, Apostle C. I'd like to pray for, the Lord's telling me that he wants to raise up a real youth movement in this church and create a whole move of the Holy Ghost amongst youth. And anybody under 25, anybody that's under 25, that is not you, Russ. Come on. But Pastor Russ might have a real desire to reach all the young 25 and unders. Come up here. I want to pray for you. And we're going to pray and prophesy a whole new movement. This girl here has got a call of God in your life. This girl right here has got a call of God in her. All you, come on, this young man here has a call of God in his life. Come on, Apostle C. We're going to lay hands on them. How old are you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody reach your hands out. Come on right up here, young man. Hallelujah. Come on, look at this army of young people. Father, in the name of Jesus, Apostle C, we're going to lay hands on this young man. I'm calling you, young man, to stir yourself. Stir yourself. Like the scripture said, Paul said to young Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. Hallelujah. Stir up the gift that is in you. I've gifted you and called you, and I'm going to increase you. Young lady, God's going to use you. He wants to give you a new faith in relationship to your heart. Hallelujah. Young man, you are called by God even at your young age, Jonah, to be a leader in the house of God. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. This young lady right here, she's a leader in the house of God. Father, put your hand upon her. And Lord, the children too, in Jesus' name. This young woman here, Father, this young woman here, Lord, in Jesus' name. There's a movement that's supposed to take place right here. Some of you folks even back there are called to be advisors and helpers in the great move of God that's going to take place in this church. Come on, Pastor. Come on right up here. We're going to lay hands on this crowd of next generation leaders. Father, here's a woman that's got a call of God on her life in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. God, hallelujah. 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 Kudabashando, kitabola kashando, otabasito kitalaboshando, halaboshando, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now the Lord asks you the question, this young lady. Everybody listen to this. I'm going to talk to this young lady. He's asking you the question, why would you sit somewhat dormant? Yes, you're active some when I've got my hand upon you for leadership. Come on, amen. Why would you sit and watch and wonder but do some things when I've called you and chosen you? Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. We got a lot of people that are called by God. They're chosen and they're a little bit dormant. So Lord, we release this lady, this young lady, from dormancy into life and activity and supernatural responsibility in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can I ask you a question? How long have you been a Christian?
I've grown up being a Christian. It's been a part of my whole life.
This girl's grown up, been a Christian her whole life. Now, what are you going to do? Step up, step out, and step into the plan of God. Come on, hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Come on,
yes.
Step up, step out, and step into the plan of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Raise your hands as high as you can, everybody. And every one of the young people now are going to be refilled and reignited with the power of the Holy Spirit. For this is a generation that God is reaching out to. Now, every one of you, begin to speak in tongues and receive a powerful, energizing, power refreshed and revitalizing.
I
hear you. Speak it out.
Speak it out.
Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the refilling, the reigniting. Oh, the fire of God. The power of Boshada. I don't hear you loud. Speak it loud. This is a generation. This is the generation that God's reaching out to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will be the pastors and youth leaders and evangelists and prophets and apostles to a generation of hungry but lost people looking, searching, untoward generation. They have no towards. They need direction. And you're going to tell them. You're going to tell them Jesus is the way. Jesus is the path you should take. Jesus is the one that you should believe in and serve. Oh, hallelujah.
Father, I just pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that same anointing that hit me 20 years ago, that same anointing that hit me and said, God, if you're real, and I know that you are, I must serve you with my whole life. Father, I pray right now that same fire, that same passion, that same encounter would come, and that by your Holy Spirit that you would put that same fire and passion into every single one that's standing up here right now. God, let them encounter you. Let them know you in the power of your resurrection. Let them have a fire that will not go out. Let the zeal of the house of the Lord begin to eat them up, Lord, that they cannot leave. That when they hear the words of Jesus Christ, that a fire burns on the inside of them, that their hearts would be set ablaze by the fire of the Word of God. And I pray, Lord God, that you would fill them with miracles, and you would fill them with signs, and you would fill them with wonders, and you would fill them with leadership, and you would fill them with compassion. God, that they would never be able to be the same again. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Come on, let's give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Let's declare a whole new movement. Whole new movement takes place in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks for coming forward. Hallelujah. Pastor, is there anybody else you'd like us to meet?
Feel like your ear should be tingling right now. Something is happening in this place. Something is happening. And I just see we could prophesy over everyone here, but you're hearing God. This church, the Ark, I've said it 100 times over the last 15, 18 years, is the best kept secret. Have you remember me saying that over and over? The best kept secret. This church now is going to start doing what you heard, stepping into that. You've got something here that should be multiplied 100 times. 100 times on this island. I've been coming here before it was ever a part called a state. And now I'm telling you, God has chosen the Ark to be just exactly what He chose Noah, to build an Ark to save. Come on, hallelujah. To save a family that was going to, because of the fear and worship and honesty and integrity that Noah had until God said he was perfect. If God said it, don't pick on him. If God says he's perfect, he's perfect. Can you say amen? Now I'm saying forget about your faults, forget about your mistakes, forget about what Mel talked about, the insecurities and what you know you can't do and what you can do. You are a part of a church that is going to impact the world. Amen. See, God rebuked me at the summit because I would not say at the summit what he wanted me to say about the pound, the 10 pounds. He gave 10 men pounds, maybe some women, part of that, pounds. And he told them to go and occupy. And I wanted to emphasize that we are not just going to win 1, 2, 3 little souls to the Lord. We're going to take cities and we're going to take nations. Listen to me, nations. And I'm going to prove that tomorrow when I speak. I'm going to obey God. I'm telling you, you're not a little ark, cozy, comfortable neighborhood little church. You are a mighty, mighty, mighty people of God. Do you believe that? A mighty people of God. You've got something here that ought to be all over this island and all the islands and then all over the world. And so you should be shouting right now. I've made that prophecy every time I've come here. You're the best kept secret in town. And now God has brought a presbytery. Do you know that we've had a presbytery in our church for 50 years? Every year we still have presbytery. God gives us people that you could not imagine. Drugs, alcoholics, people that are misfits, they get saved, they get filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they get in presbytery, and we find out God has leaders, God has men, God has women, that he, through the prophetic, transforms their lives. So we still do presbytery. We got all our deacons and elders and pastors and Sunday school workers and ushers and all those that take part. Every one of them have been in presbytery because there's impartation. And the ark's going to have several campuses. And the word of the Lord to you is, you're not going to be ahead of yourself. You're not going to run past yourself, but get ready for an explosion of growth. Get ready for a harvest like you've never, ever seen. Your heart has that harvest mentality. You too have an ability beyond what even you even realize because you have the supernatural power of God. You have the humility to give me the honor and to give me the glory and to understand that it is I working in you and through you and with you. Now set your sights on a real place to get this ark out of the ocean on land. Get this ark into a building. Get this ark into property. Get this ark into place. In fact, I'm ready to give some thousands of dollars towards land purchase. Land purchase. It's time for the ark to own a building suitable for the harvest. Come on, everybody. Say amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. All right. Enough is enough. Sir. What is your name? You are going to be a testimony to a people that I couldn't reach. I looked the wrong way. He's going to speak the word of the Lord. You're a musician too? You got some music in you? You got some talent in you? You are going to be a fireball for God. You're going to be noisy. You're going to be emotional. You're going to reach out to a generation that the average church would say, I hope they don't come here. You know what I say? I wish that every homosexual in San Jose would come to our church. I wish every pervert would come to our church. You say, oh, that's garbage. Well, then we'll recycle it through the blood of Jesus. And through, come on now and see God bring harvest.
Let's stand up together, shall we? You know what I'd like to do, Apostle C? Would you go down that aisle right there? And I'm going to go down this aisle here. We're not going to prophesy to a lot of people, but we're just going to lay hands on a good number of you, and we're going to declare that this weekend you get a new impartation. We declare this man, this woman gets a new impartation. Lord, this woman right here gets a new faith. Lord, she comes into another level of faith. I see faith rising. Another level. I see confidence. I see abilities being released. I see things that are internally. Guys, I see a lot of you folks. I see the things, the internal things that are inside your heart that are not yet come out. I see them being released in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, with this couple here, Father. Thank you for an impartation. Thank you that this church will come to a new level, Lord. We just declare that this church comes to a brand new level. Every member gets a word from the Lord for themselves, Father. We declare, Lord God, an increase, Father, of faith. We declare an increase of faith in Jesus' name. We declare it, Father, and we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for what you're going to do. We give you praise for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A new level of faith, a new level of belief coming to this church, a new confidence that comes to the people of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Come on, put your hands up and praise the Lord. We're going to close the service tonight. We're going to ask that tomorrow there's a move of God of faith. We're trusting God for his visitation tomorrow, and the church moves to a new level. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Would you just, you can just stay standing with me. We're about to release you. I want to tell you, I don't want to just ask you. I want to tell you, you need to be at church tomorrow. If you possibly can, you need to be at church tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening. If you can't, be there anyway. Amen. God has something for you. And just on a very practical note, if you felt the presence of God tonight, if you got a word tonight, maybe it was spoken directly over you, maybe it wasn't, maybe it was just somebody else, but it hit your heart. There was just something maybe in the message that hit your heart tonight. The Bible says that immediately the birds come to steal the seed. A good friend of mine in the ministry says you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. So don't allow those birds to come and hang out and try to steal that seed from you, but guard it. Guard your heart. Guard that word. Pay attention to it. Fixate on it in a good way, and allow God to continue to do something in you. The Bible says to meditate on the word of God. That means to chew on it like a cow chews its cud. Just get everything out of it that you can. Rehearse it over and over and over again, and let God continue to just wash over you with his word and with his spirit tonight. Can you say amen to that? Protect your relationships. Be nice to one another. Be kind one to another. Amen. and allow God to minister to your heart tonight. Father, I just bless your people tonight as they go their separate ways, as they drive on these crazy roads out there. Father, we pray protection over them. We pray the healing virtue of God on those that need healing. Father, we pray peace over their households. We pray joy over their households, righteousness over their lives, God. And we thank you that as they go to sleep tonight, that you give them visions, that you give them dreams, that the Holy Spirit would be working on them tonight. Some of them, don't even let them sleep tonight, God. Just get them. Just get them, God. And I pray that they would never be the same again. We thank you for them, and we bless your people. We bless the apostles and their wives as they're here tonight ministering. Refresh them, God. Build them up and give them fresh words for us for tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen. Amen.
Now, I'm going to be right over there at that book table, and you could get yourself a book. It'll help you. There's five sections to the book. There's 31 days. This book will radically, supernaturally, wonderfully lay a foundation in your life and leave and bring a whole new unity in your church. Come on, somebody said amen. Yeah.
I'm telling you something. God, you heard the word, and I had the prophetic word that I was going to give tomorrow about this church, developing leadership and developing methods of reproducing. A leader is not a leader unless he reproduces a leader. Get this book. It'll help you to understand your calling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And do what God wants you to do. Mel, I've known him for nearly 50 years. And he is no nonsense. He gets in there and believes it and does it. And so, what is it? $16? It's worth $60. 2 for $30, bargain. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We love you guys. Drive safely. Be blessed. You can give some hugs on your way out. We love you guys.